Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and always airing 24/7. Get the app, the Radio Entrepreneurs app, and listen to all our stories all the time. And I want to thank our friends over at The Social Scene who have been hosting us this month. If you want to know what's going on in the world of social organization, look at socialscene.me. Also want to thank my co-host today, the fancy food freak, Matt Robinson. Welcome back, Matt.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Good. I'll do anything to get Matt in, but we don't have any food today. Our guest, a reoccurring guest, been on the show many times, someone I respect deeply, been associated with the Family Business Association, keynote speaker, many things, Mahmoud Jaffrey from Dover Rug and Home. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Good. So there's a lot going on in your world. You have the store, you have a new store, you have a new business. You spoke at the Family Business Conference. Just tell us what's been going on in your world.
Thank you very much for that kind introduction. It might be a little exaggerated, but I thank you.
What did I say wrong?
No.
Maybe it was the fancy food freak part.
that's me. You don't have to relate to that.
A little bit of humility should go with success.
That's true.
Well, the interesting things happening with us, you know, our business is changing, the Dover Rug and Home part. The demographics are changing, the tastes are changing, and colors and styles, and essentially it has turned into a fashion business. What used to be a supply-driven market where whatever was made in that part of the world came here and people bought it as gospel that, okay, this is it and this is the way it's supposed to be. By the time I came of age and the top of my game in the late 80s and the 90s, the business started to change, where it became a demand-driven business. And we had to listen and cater to the needs and the ever-changing styles of the consumers. So we took clues from the designers, from fabrics and wallpapers and all of that, and then made rugs, which kind of fit into the lifestyle. Not only just for US, but for regions. What we sell in Northeast is different than what we sell in Southwest and what we sell in the West and so on and so forth. So they're exciting times. One of the other new development that has taken place as a result of that is that we commissioned and partnered with the president of the American Society of Interior Designers, the New England chapter, Eric Hadel. And he has developed a line exclusively for us, which kind of caters to the conservative, traditional sensibilities of New England with the whimsical sort of flair of New Orleans and the South, because that's where he grew up. And that's a classic example of how the business...
I can't even comprehend that. They seem like two clashing planets.
Mm. Well, that's the wonderful part about art, is that it has the ability to bridge cultures and traditions and lifestyles.
I can't imagine Cajun with New England.
Cajun lobster.
Colonial Cajun.
Yeah. I should talk to the restaurant people about
that's
that.
Like eating blackened fish with no spice.
I know. Well, that's what he was able to accomplish, is that he took the elements of that Cajun lifestyle, Mardi Gras, and picked designs, but then he colored them in such a way, he made them sort of clean and very contemporary. So you have a connection, and you have metaphors and icons, but it does not take over the space. And that's how good creative decorative arts work. The other interesting area which we have explored recently is our third location in Burlington, Massachusetts. Our good friends Nordblom family developed this boutique kind of a center called Third Avenue. This is the new concept in retail now, where we are going back to the old center of town, being able to walk to your shops, be outside, run into your neighbors, bring your family.
Buy local.
Exactly. Yeah.
Sorry.
Exactly. That farm to table, buy local, support your local merchant. That whole concept of community and exchanging of ideas locally is coming back. And one would think that New England may not be a place for that because of the inclement weather, but...
No, but we're fiercely loyal here.
We are fiercely loyal, and the human nature of...
More
being
brand
able to
loyal here than any other part of the country.
That's probably true. That's probably
no. That is true. I've seen the research on it, and that's you know when the USA Today launched its newspaper boxes in New England, people were putting them on trucks at night and taking them out of their towns because they would only keep the blue and green Herald and Boston Globe boxes.
Oh my God!
So you're right.
Yeah,
there is a fierce loyalty to the region.
Yeah.
Cape Cod potato chips, Ocean Spray, B&M beans, which I worked on many years ago. Dunkin' Donuts. There is a real regional loyalty here.
Right. Boston Chicken.
Right.
Boston Chicken. Well, my wife worked on there.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I think that makes sense. And I think even the new generation, which is coming of age, whatever little connection they may have to Boston, which are plenty, all the way from the academics to medicine, and research, they come here and they may spend some time here, but they maintain the connection in some way, form, or shape. So recognizing that, we did this store in Burlington, and it's a wonderful concept. 80% of the stores are home furnishings, so it turned into a destination retail. Mitchell Gold is there, Dover Rug & Home is there, Shades is there, Kohler is there, Boston Interiors is there. So these are all sort
so
of...
So it's a little mini mecca.
Exactly,
like
for
design,
home funding.
Like a suburban design center almost.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. You know,
that's what I was thinking of, but
great.
You're more articulate than I am.
Oh, that's great.
That's why I have Matt here.
Yes. So it gives consumer the ease to shop. And then the anchors are Wagamans.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
Which is the perfect and the same demographics. And then they have two or three fancy restaurants that bring in people in the evening. So they use the parking facilities that we don't use in the evening, and they don't need parking during the day, so we have the parking available during the day. It's a great concept, and it's been working out extremely well. We are pleased. This is our third store. Our second store is on Stewart Street in Boston between Clarendon and Berkeley. That was our second location, and my son Hassan runs that. And that also is an example of the change in lifestyle. A lot of my friends, empty nesters, are moving into the city. They are downsizing, but not necessarily downsizing in terms of style and the quality of rugs that they want. And with our lifetime trade-in guarantee on our hand-knotted rugs, they're able to trade in their rugs, and they get what they want in the new colors and styles, which caters to their new lifestyle and colors and design.
Well, that's the good thing about your rugs, because they don't necessarily decrease in value, correct?
Correct.
It's not like a car or a regular rug.
It's not a depreciating
asset.
It's
art.
It is. And there are two reasons for that. One is, of course, because it's an art form, and usually original art does not depreciate. And second is the cost to reproduce it. The labor cost continues to go up. The material cost continues to go up. And what you paid for a rug 5, 10, 20 years ago, you'll never be able to buy 5, 10, 20 years from now. So the replacement cost goes up, but the value of that rug sort of stays intact, because a new consumer coming into the market would be happy to pay what the cost was 5, 10, 20 years ago, because they do not wear out. You know, that's the good thing about fine rugs, is that they age gracefully, whereas anything else, carpeting or cheap rugs, will ugly out.
Well, and time on a great rug, actually, you're right, has a form of beauty, doesn't it?
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And the metaphors and the stories and the history that they tell is what is captivating, is what the artistic elements of it is. We have a program as part of our community outreach program, we have this program for third graders, elementary school children. There must be about a dozen different schools that either come to us or we go to them. It's a two-hour program, and the first hour, the children learn about the art of rug making, all the way from shearing of the sheep, all the way to designs, weaving, washing, clipping, all the details. And the second part is where they learn about the artistic elements of the rug, the metaphors, the symbols, the stories they tell. And it's an amazing way for us to introduce these young minds to another part of the world on an artistic note, on a historical note, as opposed to watching it on Fox News and all the bad stuff which is coming out.
Yeah, we just built a house, and the choices in building a house are absolutely overwhelming. And I went to your Stewart Street store. I knew your main store, but it seemed a little, just driving past it, it's massive.
It's a little overwhelming.
But the Stewart Street store was a good introduction. And we really didn't have a concept yet. And I was kind of just, we kind of want this, kind of want that. And your team just knew, you know, two or three things, and they all could have worked well. We brought them home, we tried them out. And now that you have this new place in Burlington with the furniture and stuff right there, it's going to be so much easier and so much more compatible, because driving all over town trying to compare this couch to that couch in two different stores gets, you know, is a little overwhelming at times.
Thank you. You know, they say you need three things to be in the rug business. It's called the looks of Joseph, wealth of Pharaoh, and patience of Job to be able to survive, make, and sell rugs.
You know, I always knew there was something I liked about you, but you started with humility and you end with greatness.
Thank you. That's very thoughtful of you, Jeffrey.
At least you know I'm listening. But, you know, there's another business that you've added to the array of family businesses, and that's the Dover Squash, correct?
Yes, Jeff.
And that's not a vegetable store.
Yes, and it's not only in the summer. We play year-round. You know, this used to be my passion, and I played squash all my life as a kid. And a lot of my clients and friends wonder is that what is the connection between a rug store and a squash and a fitness club? Well, the connection is Pakistan. Up until the 90s, Pakistan dominated the world squash scene. For 20 straight years, the world champions came from Pakistan. But we all know what happened to Pakistan starting in the late 80s, war and conflicts and so on and so forth. So the institution of squash suffered like everything else. Whereas me living here in Boston, and New England is the largest mecca for squash. And so what started as a hobby kind of turned into a business. So 5 years ago, when we bought this building, which used to be a bowling alley, which had a bit of a sports history, and a driving range, we developed that property, part of it, as a squash club. So it's primarily a teaching academy for young adults. We also train independent school teams. And MIT. MIT is one of our clients. We train and develop their team and a few others. It's a wonderful program, and it gives us the ability to bring in young players who want to compete here in U.S. and internationally and provide a home for them. And it also opens up opportunities for them to either go to school or get scholarships to colleges and universities, or become coaches. So it's a win-win situation, and it allows our young players to be exposed to international caliber players all over the world. It's a brilliant idea.
Do you still play?
I do, but my mind thinks like a 16-year-old, but the body does not.
Have you ever
we're talking about squash now, right?
Yeah. Have you ever had Ming Tsai come by? He plays, yeah?
Yes, Ming Tsai is a dear friend.
it's funny. Until I settled in Boston in 1981, I ended up living in about five cities, and it's funny, every city I've lived in, different sports dominate in terms of the social activity. And I lived in Toronto for a short time.
Yes.
And Toronto has a fair Pakistani community. And I played squash when I lived in Toronto because that was the thing to do.
Yes.
It seemed like everybody I was working with at that particular point of time at an ad agencies were playing squash.
Yes. Well, anytime you have a critical mass of either Englishmen or women or people who were colonized by Brits,
right,
you will see cricket and squash.
Right.
Wonderful thing about colonization.
Well, before we sign off, you're always intriguing. I'd love to have you on the show regularly. You're just
a
wonderful wealth of wisdom and knowledge and experiences. Can you tell people how to find the stores before you go?
Thank you. Well, thank you for allowing me for a plug. The best way is to go to doverrug.com, which lists all our three stores. Our flagship store is in Natick, Massachusetts, on Route 9, 721 Worcester Street.
Can't miss it.
Yeah, thank you. It's a big building with big windows. It's on the intersection of Route 27 and Route 9. Then the one in Boston is on Stewart Street, directly or diagonally across from John Hancock and a block from Copley Plaza. between Berkeley and Clarendon on Stewart Street. And our third one is Third Avenue, sort of across the street from Burlington Mall.
And do you stay in the Natick store?
I spend most of my time in
the Natick store. So if I pop in on the way here one day or the way out, if I ever have freedom, I can ask for you?
Happy to see you. Would love to have
My
you.
Wife's not going to want me to go without
it's like
her.
A muse- it's worth a visit. Just, it's just beautiful, the way they have everything's laid
my
out.
My schedule is so tied up, but I mean, I've been dying to stop into the store.
Pop
stop
in
the store.
Time. Absolutely.
I will. That's
Absolutely.
Great. You know, a pleasure again having you on the show.
Thank you.
And again, running a great family business, and that's very important. So I want to thank you for being on the show. We expect to see you back here in the fall again.
Look forward to it. Thank
great.
You.
Thank you. And send us pictures so we can post them for you.
Oh, wonderful. Happy
we,
to do
we
it.
We would love that. Again, my name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm the host of the show, also CEO for Mage LLC, the management consulting firm. And sitting here with the mad food fanatic, Matt Robinson. Matt, was it okay talking about rugs and
yeah,
squash and stuff?
Like I said, I've been by the store many times. It's beautiful. It's just a great place to learn something or just it's like a museum. It's really it's a beautiful place, and it's a great family business, which is something to applaud these days.
Great. So we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with Mad Matt after these messages.